podcasts are aimed at professional financial advisors. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Investment Perspectives podcast from RSMR, helping financial advisors understand the economic landscape by analysing current events from an expert investment perspective. Each month, I talk to one of our team about a pertinent global event or topic, delving into discussions about implications through an investment perspective lens. The podcast not only features insights from our accomplished investment team, but also perspectives from our account management team, a unique angle fueled by their direct interactions with financial advisors. And on that note, I'd like to welcome Dominic Brooks, one of our business development managers.
Hello, Katie.
So I'm Katie Sykes, client engagement and marketing manager at RSMR. And today we're going to be talking about active versus passive. Why pick a side when you can blend? The debate over the pros and cons of active and passive investment management began decades ago and can still passionately divide the investment community. But with the option to blend the two approaches, why argue for one or the other when you can have a foot in two camps and achieve the best of both worlds? So, Dom, what's the historical angle here?
The stock market crash of 1929 and the Great Depression led to regulation that created the mutual fund structure that we see today in the US. And so active management of funds began. Passive investing arrived in 1976 when John C. Bogle, the founder of the then new investment company Vanguard, created the first index fund.
All right, thanks for that, Dom. What's the basic premise of these competing ideologies then? In broad terms, active management involves selecting individual stocks with the aim of outperforming the underlying markets, whereas a passive manager will try and track a specific market or index, buying into the efficient market theory. So what are the merits of active investing?
Well, active managers aren't required to hold specific stocks or bonds. They can use short sales techniques, options, assessment tools and metrics to gauge equity market risk, interest rate risk, credit risk, and liquidity risk, enabling them to insure against losses. And they can exit specific holdings or market sectors when risks get too great.
So the ability to adjust to market conditions and the opportunity for diversification creates the potential for higher returns. Active management does have some drawbacks, though, such as generally higher fees. You do need to pay research analysts and portfolio managers, as well as additional costs due to more frequent trading, of course. Difficulty in consistently outperforming the market and the risk of human error are also drawbacks. What does passive investing offer?
Most passive funds are operated automatically by an investment team rather than a fund manager, reducing running costs as no stock picking is needed. It is relatively clear which assets are in an index fund, so passive investing can also potentially offer greater transparency. Returns can be more predictable too. And for the S&P 500, the average annual return has been about 10% over long stretches.
So when markets are moving in a steady upward trajectory, the low-cost passive option is appealing as it bears fruit, but it can result in smaller short-term returns when compared to active investing, as it's designed to provide returns that closely track the index rather than seek out performance.
Passive equity funds have actually grown from 15% of invested funds back in 2007 to 30% of total fund assets in 2017 in the EU.
So we can see here that the popularity of passive investing continues to grow. And at the end of 2023, the scales were actually tipped with more passive assets held under management than their actively managed counterparts.
Yes, and the rise of passive investing has led to some positive shifts in the active management arena when it comes to fees. The average expense ratio paid by investors in mutual funds roughly halved between 2000 and 2020 and is still on a downward trajectory.
Growth of passive investing has dominated markets over the last 15 years, but there are elements of active investing that you simply can't harness with a passive instrument by the look of it. Market conditions affect returns, and in more volatile times, opportunities for an active manager are there for the taking.
That's right. And with active investing, you have access to the full market, including less mainstream options such as smaller companies and alternatives, and the potential to benefit from talented fund managers' own styles and practices.
So this begs the question then, why not combine the two? Surely mixing dynamically active and passive vehicles, depending on market trends and investors' objectives, allows you to benefit from the advantages of both approaches.
Yeah, the most obvious starting point is to use the efficient market theory to follow large cap companies in the bigger, more mature markets, such as the S&P 500 or the FTSE 100 index that we know in the UK. So the trajectory of the wider market is captured. You can then complement this with select active funds, introducing additional risk and return potential and offering diversification and protection in the event of market downturns, all at a cost that sits between the two management types.
So, what can we conclude from all this? You may have always favoured one investment style over another, but blending active and passive strategies means you can seek out performance while still being mindful of cost and tax efficiency. With the reduction in active management fees and the opportunity to harness the unique benefits of both strategies, some might say you're missing a trick if you're not considering a new blended approach. Thanks very much for joining me, Dom, and for your input. And thanks for listening. We'll be back next month.
Thank you, Katie.
Our comments and opinion are intended as general information only and do not constitute advice or recommendation. Information is sourced directly from fund managers and websites. Therefore, this information is as current as is available at the time of production. The value of investments can go down as well as up.